Lesson this morning is taken from Exodus, the first chapter, verses 7 through 22, and the authors have entitled our lesson, A Long, Hard Oppression. We concluded our study of the Abrahamic Covenant last week, and we saw how Abram was being blessed, and was to be blessed. The end of Genesis, we see that several things have happened. The son of Isaac has gone on to bring about Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, and Joseph was put in, had some trials and tribulations, and was sent off to Egypt, and there arose a famine in the land again. And that famine caused the Joseph's family to flee and therefore live and therefore prosper in Egypt. But God, somebody say, but God, gave Canaan to Abram as a part of the Abrahamic covenant, not Egypt. And as I've shared with you on many occasions, that whenever we see Old Testament figures and characters and places and things, we must keep in mind types and shadows in addition to the literal meaning of what we read. And in there, we will see that today, in particularly, Egypt, I want you to see it not only as a country, but I want you to see it as a type. It's a type of world. When we see Egypt, we should think about the world. God had already told Abraham that he would bless him and his seed. But he told him that he had given him Canaan and that he would sojourn in other places that God had not given him. And that wherever you go, where God has not given you, it is not the will of God for you to be there, you can prosper, but not for long. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. You can prosper and it not be your home. Because God had already told them that that place is not your home. Egypt is not your home. You may run there for your comfort, but Egypt is not your home. Your home is wherever God has determined your home to be. And your home, your citizenship, resides, according to the word of God, in heaven. This world is not your home. So don't get stuck on the world system as your home. Don't get so comfortable. Don't think that the world is not going to be the world. The world is a dangerous place for you. I don't care how good you're looking. Yeah, you got clothes, cash, cars, you got all that. You got it really going on for yourself. But in any moment, remember, at any moment, the tables can turn. At the whim of men, your life can be changed if you're hooked closely to this world system. Y'all don't hear me. I'm here this morning, and I understand that they're going to get in their little groove, Stephen Johnson, and they're going to debate this particular issue right here. But I'm glad chapter 1 of Exodus was written, because it is a staunch reminder to every last one of us that this world is not your home. That don't get so hooked up on this world that you forsake all that is godly for this world. Because this world is cursed, folks. Nobody ever heard of the Garden of Eden? I mean, it was created, but it was cursed. Not only Adam and Eve fell, the world fell. It is not your home. God has gone to prepare a place for us, which is our home. Joseph, you guys didn't get a chance to meet him, but you've met him in many of your Sunday school lessons and preachings, was highly heralded in Egypt, second in command, wise beyond his years. Saved his family, bought them over, some 70 of them, and they are now living in Egypt. But Joseph is dead. Benjamin is dead. Jacob, dead. The generations of Joseph have gone on. And there's strange things. No matter how much legacy you try to leave, there's, if people don't talk about, you know, that, you know, Deacon Harmon was here during the 90s and the 2000s, you know, he had great Sunday school, he was Sunday school superintendent. There'll come a time when they won't know who Harmon is. They won't know who Robert Newsom, Joe Harris, Joe Richardson. And they won't know who you are. And it's simply because generations that followed didn't tell them about you. I'm always proud to talk about Tom Walker and Stacy Kauser. These are men in the church in which I was growing up because they were men who taught me how to be a man, how to wear a blue serge and brown suit on certain occasions, and how to wear a starch white shirt and tie. If so, how to smoke a cigar if you wanted to do that. Proud to talk about them. Stacy Kauser is saying it's interesting when we get around, you know, my homeboys now that grew up with me, you know, those men's name always come up. Needless to say, Israel is doing fine over in Egypt. They're settled in, they're prospering. And you know what? Their prosperity is based on their population. Read verse 7 for me, please. The land was filled with them. They were having babies and they were prospering. There are too many of them now. The immigration policy that Egypt once employed is no longer working.
Okay.
We've allowed these folk to come in. And there's a problem now, because they're having babies at a rate higher than ours. Are we talking about Exodus or are we talking about 2020? See, let me tell you something, folks. Ain't nothing. Solomon was right. There's nothing new under the sun. This world is not your home. This world is just as thuggish as it was in the time after the fall. And even more so, there's nothing new. And in chapter 1, we're going to see how folk who had got along, who had brought prosperity to a nation, but because they procreated, because they reproduced, it's time to go. People don't like that because they said they waxed mighty. That means that they were powerful. And let me tell you something, folks. People can share their resources to an extent, but they will not share power. When power is threatening, it institutes the dynamic of the psychiatry of hatred and fear. And out of hatred and fear can come many things. That's how the world is set up. You are a foreigner. You are, yes, alien. It is not a pejorative term as far as I'm concerned. I am an alien. I am not a citizen of this world because I'm not treated roughly at home. But we're going to show you that this world was not Egypt's home, not Israel's home, because Egypt wasn't. Canaan was their home. And they were out of place, even though they were prospering, even though they were having children, being productive. They're not where they're supposed to be. In verse 8, I want y'all to read it. And when you read it, just shake your head. Because to me, it is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. Let's see it. You got a king. You got a ruler of a nation that don't know the people in that nation. Oh, somebody better help me. And see, when you have a ruler who does not understand the plight of his people, they will do anything to those people. Because when you don't know somebody, you will be afraid of them. That's why we don't congregate with folk we don't know. We get scared of them. It's psychotic. It's the psychiatry of fear and then hate. Because that's what happened. They feared them because they were multiplying. They were having babies at a rate higher than the Egyptians. And therefore, it was perceived that, wait a minute, these people get too powerful. Hey, they'll take over. Wherever there's power problem, there's a real problem. Having children, who would have thought that that would ever be a problem? Just having children. Verse 9. Hey, does somebody else want to teach this? Go ahead, guys. This teaches itself. Stevie Wonder could see this. Guys, let me tell you one thing. You had a ruler who don't know the people and who did not know Joseph. And because they did not know Joseph, they do not know God. See, the thing about it is there's a generation that has grown up that does not know God, that does not remember Joseph, doesn't talk about Joseph, doesn't talk about Harmon and Newsom and Joe Harris and Johnson and all that. They're all gone off the scene, these men of God. They're gone, and nobody has taught them about them because this is a new thing. That's old-timey stuff. We're going to teach a new thing here. And here we have a ruler that comes in. He doesn't know anything. You know why he doesn't know anything? Because he ain't no Egyptian. I'm so sick of these folk talking about they pure, they this, they that. This guy's a Hittite. He ain't no Egyptian. He doesn't know nothing about the Egyptian people. Don't know anything about the Jewish people. But he got in. He ascended to power. And now these Jews who are making all these babies are a problem because they are a threat to his power. He's scared of them. I told you this was not your home. Can you imagine what these folk were thinking? Where did this Johnny come lately come? Hell no, not wait a minute, King. I know you the Pharaoh, but you don't know nothing about us. But when people don't know you, they will be afraid of you. Y'all remember the Wednesday night Bible study? That's why you're to love one another. Because the more you know about folk, the more you'll love them. Respect them. But you got a ruler that's in power who doesn't dare. So what he wants to do is, he says, it's too many of you. We need to stop this. We ain't going to bring no more in. And guess what? We're going to get rid of what we got. Y'all read the narrative. I'm just a messenger. Don't get mad with me. Verse 10 says what? If it's not relevant today, let's just go back 50 years, 50, 60 years. Let me, because see, a lot of folk don't get it. See, when you start fearing folk, if you have an outside enemy, anybody who may look like the outside enemy, you fear. Because you realize that this is the United States of America. We're at internment camps here. And everybody, if I asked you about the internment camps, you know what? You raise your hand. You know what you tell me? The Japanese, right? You remember that? Yes. We had folk that we interned because we were afraid. They had done nothing. Do you realize all of California out there, that semi-valid, all that rich land belonged to Japanese Americans? Ain't nobody gave them reparation. But they are put in camp. But then you say, oh, Jeff, that was sad, that was bad. Hey, Fritz, ain't they last time we did it? You ever heard of Pennsylvania? West Virginia? Those were German internment camps. We interned German citizens because they were from Germany. And now we had an outside enemy that looked like them. We became afraid of them. Folk, all you got to do is read the Bible, because when you don't read the Bible, you repeat the same old mistakes over and over and over again. Fast forward to the 2019. We got a whole bunch of folk. Don't look like us. It's too many of you. It used to be good. Oh, man, yeah, you're good harvest. You know, used to harvest them fields that we stole from the Japanese over there. And, you know, now you've been migration. But you know what? It's too many of y'all. You know why? Because you're having babies at a rate that is greater than the American society. Then the standard got to go. We need to change. Homeland Security, let's change the immigration policy. That's what they said, right? Y'all ready? Says, come on, let's deal with them wisely. That means let's start a trick. It ain't nothing but a trick. Immigration policy, when it's directed at a particular group, is nothing but a trick of the devil, of the system. Let me go. Verse 11 says, therefore, they did what? I told you this is a nasty chapter. Here's the policy that they come up with. Let's enslave them. Let's make them work. Make them work. That way of confining. But it's not just the making of work, because this is what we call slavery light. Break them up into groups, because we don't want them congregating together, and we'll appoint taskmasters over them. Okay? Watch all their efforts. Don't ever let them congregate. Keep them apart. Can't communicate. See, you strike at the power. You strike at the power. Oh, it's Homeland Security at its best. Separate them at the border. Oh, guys. No. Because, see, that's not what God is trying to show you. This is not your home. You thought you had it made. You thought it would never happen to you. And right now, everybody in their mind, they're thinking about the immigrants that are coming through the southwest border right now. Let me tell you one thing. Nah, this lesson is for you. Because Israel was already inside the borders. This wasn't a stop them at the border. This was stop them right where they are. If you put them in slavery, free, it'll reduce their power. Because it's just a little mild thing. You know, we just don't want you to have power. And this is their way of doing it. This is what we call internal immigration problem. Because see, if they'd have made everybody do it, it just meant they'd call it a dictatorship. But this is immigration policy by folk who already got in. Now they don't want nobody else in. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You look, even today, you go to today, you look at the cabinet members of the day. These are all folk whose people got in to include our president. I said, hey, everybody know it. So right after he became president, his mother-in-law and father-in-law became citizens. They in, we keep everybody else out. And The test is, you know what we'll do? we'll think about revising the policy, but it'll only be skilled labor. Well, let's start with your mom and daddy. Let's make it not retroactive. They weren't skilled. The immigrants that came this were hard-working folk, built this nation folk. Don't let nobody fool you. But the issue, the psychiatry of hatred and fear, will always dominate the masses when that power base is being threatened. And so they did this. This is what they did. Y'all may think y'all reading the San Antonio newspaper today. That's exactly what's happening here. Verse 12 says, but the more they what?
The more they multiplied and grew, they were eating.
The more they pressed them, the more God said, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. They worked them in groups, and they still multiply, Johnson. They still. What? When did they have time if they doing all this work? Amen. I'm just trying to ask the question, man. When did they have time? But the harder they work, I'm going to make this statement, and y'all going to be mad with me, but I got word on my side. Hard work ain't never killed nobody. I'll show you in a minute. The Word of God is clear. All you got to do is just read the Word of God, come to family church school, come to evangelism, midweek Bible study. This stuff. And then you won't be surprised. What's going on in this world? What is always going on in this world? Ain't nothing changed. Verse 14 says what? No. I'm sorry. Verse 13. First. The reason why I couldn't let you skip over that one, because it's very important. You say, well, that seemed like 13 was already said one time. No. What it is that slavery light became slavery heavy. You know, it's like, nah, we used to have nice slavery. Now, bow, get over there. In other words, it used to be, yeah, go right over here and do this. Yeah, cut off that section right there. It's like, bow, get over there. That's the rigor. It became more burdensome, arduous, tormenting. So now, because these folk are still multiplying, we got to make this harder. You know, maybe we work these poor guys together, they'll stop some of this. We've been too light on them. Make them work harder. And there's some benefits. More prosperous, can build bigger barns if they're working harder. And they made their what? Now everything they did, whether it was pressing mortar, working in the field, in the homes, they made it harder. They made it disrespectful. Sound familiar? Slavery ain't no joke, folk. But the Bible chose this. The Word of God chose to bring this to you, to show you that that's what the world system is all about. You're talking about equity pay? You're talking about equity pay and all that? Let me tell you one thing. The world system ain't set up for that. Well, and matter of fact, you could take this room, divide it up, put all of y'all that are like together. And you know what? There'd still be fussing and fighting. There'd still be an issue. Because somebody don't start multiplying. Well, let me see. I better go to this side. Somebody will start multiplying. And would it become more of y'all than it is of them? Sister Thompson, there is a problem. And they made this arduous, guys. They beat them down. They made it hard. They made it more burdensome. We have read through verse 14. I haven't seen God mentioned at all. Did you happen to see that, Jay? Just in case I miss, you know, I got these. So it begs me to go, God, where are you? Where are you in all of this? These are your people. They prospering, they ain't doing nothing, but they doing exactly what you said. But let me tell you something, the world system, first of all, it was easy for them to come up with this homeland security immigration policy of trying to stop the sea simply because God only instituted two organizations. Organism. The church and marriage. That's what the devil, that's what the world wants to stop. The devil don't care nothing about you come up here giving praise and stuff as long as you go home and beat your wife. Cheat on your husband. Don't care. Don't care. Because then he know the system ain't right. The attack is against the system. And that's what the world does. That's why you have a world now that grows up and does not know God. And when they don't know God, they will do anything. You don't have to be, stop crying before the TV. How they doing those poor babies like that? Shut up. That's the world. That's what the world does. The world does its job real good. And if you think that's bad, it's going to get worse. Because they put them in slavery. At least they, you know, had a job to do, you know. But then they made it a little harder, you know, to include beatings, if we're to believe the narrative that we see in movies and stuff like that. But it made it hard. It wasn't easy. Because that's what the system will do. You know why? God told them, that's not your home. You will be a foreigner wherever you go. You embrace that term. So if somebody calls you a foreigner, someone calls you an alien, you raise your hand. Say, yeah, hey, can I be one of them too? I ain't calling them an alien. I'm an alien. We all aliens. This is not your world. And let me tell you one thing. Even if you are unsaved, this is not your world. There's a world prepared for you after this. I'm up to here with us not telling the next generation about God, about godly men and women. I'm sick of us trying to take prayer out of the school, because when you take prayer out of the school, you're trying to take God out of something. How you gonna take God out of anything? How you gonna do it? But the world keeps on trying. You know why? Evil does not know when to quit. Oh, I'm on this. You know, all week long, I've had to burden this. I'm just in full release now, because when you are experiencing it. Exactly what the word of God says. See, it's something that's why Paul says it is that you would know him and know the power of his resurrection. And you know him through his word. And when you can read his word and see, Lord, this makes sense now. This is why all this stuff is happening to me. This is why people can't even drive down the street without getting shot. Can't go to the mall without getting shot. Because there arose a generation that knew not God. All you got to do is look at the demographics of the people that are doing these shootings and stuff, and they're the same demographics that we're having a hard time keeping in church, because they know not God. And if you don't know God, you're subject to do anything. When you know not God and you are placed in leadership, you'll make all kinds of rules. Verse 15 says, just with those first three words, and the king, and the king. Thought you already made a policy. Oh, y'all didn't get that. 2019, thought you already had a policy. Oh, it didn't work. But that ain't gonna stop them, because and the king, what? Spake to the. So y'all have seen slavery. What's the one that you see now? The big A, no? That's right. The young one in the room. But we see it because they talked to the midwife. And they said, look here, you're right there. Not only that, sis, but it's got to be late term because they didn't have no song or nothing to determine that. The baby's about ready to be born. And so now, and while they're in the stirrups, another plan, because the first one ain't working. So we done moved from slavery and bondage now to abortion. Let's kill them all. And you know, specifically, let's make it male. You got to understand, though, the world system knows. The world heard the Abrahamic covenant. They know the word better than us. They know that the seed is in the man. And so not only are we going to attack their power, we're going to attack the strength. Oh, folks, you can see it. Because, see, if you attack power and strength, you got them. Power and strength, you got them. And so what this is now is that we see this, go to the males, get the males. Kill them before they're born. And this will stop it. Somebody say, but God. They spoke it to two. Now we know with all these folk, just even in their 600,000 population, it had to be more than two. Remember, these are the head ones. And typically, let me tell you about midwives. Midwives were typically women who were barren, who could not have children. Keep that in mind. They could not have children. And so they chose this profession. That way they could be in on the birthing process and, you know, something that they never physically experienced themselves, but they would somehow experience it through that. Primarily, that's who midwives were during this era. Let's see how this works. He says, and he said, when you do office to the midwife, to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, the stirrups, if it be a son, then ye shall what? But if it be a daughter, pourquoi? Why? First of all, see, but also, if you take that strength, you say, well, what policies have done that? Notice, you know, this great proliferation of jail cells in the 70s. It was designed, folks, to take men out of the home. Extract from the home. Death penalty, more harsh, take them out of the world, but cells would take them out of the home. And without men in the home loses its glue, loses its head, its dysfunction sets in. Well, let's not even go there. It makes me sick when I go down an evangelism chart. And I got one man. Because you take the strength. Folk, let me tell you one thing. Don't call me no chauvinist, I'm a man of function. It's me. It is impossible for me to have children. Can I just? Impossible. I ain't no bear, no baby. That's not my function. I can contribute to the effort, but I can't bear none. That's just function. I'm not going to get mad with you, sister, because you can. You see what I'm saying? Oh, I want to do this, and I can't figure out how I can't do it. That's not my function. But I tell you what my function is. I tell you what his function is, Keith, is to support any child that comes here, once they get here, to ensure that they grow up in the admonition of the Lord. So now we got men who are not the spiritual heads of their home. They're running away from their responsibility. They're not teaching their kids to know God, and therefore they don't know God. You cannot leave all that responsibility on women. Somebody, hey, folks, it's a design of the devil, and we fall prey to it. And they say, well, why didn't they just get the women too? Why did they want to save the women? Understand, that's how that system works. You got to save the women. Just think about slavery in our own country. They deliberately, that's why when y'all run around talking about, you know, my ancestors this, I can trace my ancestry back, you know, 200 years and all that. Shut up, all of y'all brothers and sisters. You might as well practice it because that's what you're going to be in heaven. You don't know who's who. I'm just telling the truth. And the word of God is showing us how this system doesn't work for us and how people have used the world to pit us one against another. Black against white, brown against yellow, men against women, especially when you're in the church. The last person, the last place. Remember Pastor Cobb taught about, I'll be a unifying member? The last place the devil wants unity is in the church. Wants me and Bud mad with a can't stop this. Can't make me mad with him. Can't make him mad with me. Because we understand our purpose. But when people, when this world devises all these systems, the sole purpose is to stop God's people. Totally me why. Beauty and splendor. That's who they told. Beautiful. But save the women. Because guess what? We found that women, they can do more as good and better than men. Oh, y'all. See, I'm a student of this stuff. I started working with the company I just retired from. When I started, here's what was the ratio. 80% men, 20% women in a plant that makes aircraft engines parts, okay? When I retired 28 years later, it was 70% women, 30% men. Has anybody ever seen the cost of daycare? Raise your hand. Oh, look at them right. They're ready to shout. Come on, Emma, don't shout up in here. No, you feel it. That's all you got to do is do the math. You got to have equal pay or you won't survive. And I'm not talking about here's a recent phenomenon. And that's why, you know, grandparents have got to get involved now, you know. They supposed to be retired, now they taking care of kids. You know why? Child care. Child care alone will bring. Now, there's plenty of those that are doing well, living large, they can afford the child care. But guess what? The average citizen, working woman, they can't afford it. They're talking about the minimum wage? Hey guys, okay, let's make it, you know, back in my day, we'll make it high, 10. An hour. You work 8 hours a day, that's $80. Times five is $400. Guess how much child care is a week? Two children. Talk to me. $400 and some. Child care today is over $2,000. $2,500 a month. See, but they thought I was some country bunk and just fell off the wagon here. They don't think I know what I'm talking about. But I understand the designs of this world. It is not designed for your people. Don't fall prey to that. Don't, if you're a mother and your husband out there living large, you know, working him fool self to death, you know, keeping a roof over your head, keeping your kids safe and sound, and you're there every day with them, you count that. Don't discount your worth. Don't discount your worth. You're a stay-at-home mom, be proud. And don't let no charlatan tell you that, I can't see how you would just do that and be with the kid. Oh, let me tell you one thing. I'm telling you, I ain't telling you something I heard. I'm telling you what I know. My wife came, when I married her, one of the rules was that you always got to have a job. See, in my impetuosity. 18 months later, Rob, my wife says, come here. We're going to the States. We were in Germany. We're going to the States. And when I get there, I might have a job, but I don't know. Because, see, something happens when you become a mother. You know that child needs it. Let me tell you something. I came back here, bought a home. I had two cars. I've never had a part-time job. I was enlisted. E5. Bought a home, two cars. My wife stopped working. My wife didn't work no more until my daughter was 16 years old. But God. So don't tell me. Say, this is what I want to do. But every play, every day. As a matter of fact, that's how she got the job. The principal at Madison said, look here, you're up here so much. Why don't you why don't we just hire you? You know, we'll let you go, you know, check on your daughter when you get ready. So my wife taught a math class. That was the first class at Madison. And later on went on to a Christian school, elementary education. But, you know, God will provide. But the kid is grown, man. But the system is designed to make you think you can't make it. Take the man out. Without that man there, yeah, y'all got to go to work. Take the man out, put him in prison. You know you're going to work. There's more. Matter of fact, The Anatomy of Slavery is a great book to read for those of you who are interested in that sort of thing. Okay, but the midwives, they feared God and did not do what the king said, right? And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said, what? Why have you done? And what did the midwives say? Because the Hebrew, see, Sister Martin, you laugh at it. You say, that's me. I can't stand him. Why he always got to be right? I told you hard work don't hurt nobody. They said what they told him. The Jewish women, they work hard, and so they deliver their babies quick. The pampered Egyptian women, they're the ones need our sisters, but they ain't the ones that you're trying to eliminate. It was an untruth. It's just a little untruth. I had truth, but like my grandmother used to say, a half-truth is just a whole lie, you know. But God uses them, even in them not telling the truth to Pharaoh. That was only partially true. But the issue was, yeah, they weren't going to kill those babies. They were not going to do what they asked them to do because they believed God more than they did Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said what? Go to verse 20. They still grew. And you know what? The important thing about that statement there, these women, remember I told you they were barren, could not have children? When he says that he gave them houses, means that they gave them families. They were able to have children because of their obedience to God. God blessed them. God blessed them. Y'all didn't hear it. You do the right thing, God will bless you. And that's what many folk who are in power today are going to realize, that, you know what? Because they defied some of the incredible orders that are being given, God's going to bless them. He's going to honor that, that obedience. Because some of the stuff that's going on is satanic. This is an attack of the devil. And God has chosen this lesson to show us in this day, don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable in Egypt. That ain't your home. This could happen to you. Now, and it came to pass, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying what? Think about it in history. The threefold attempt for the devil trying to eliminate God's people. Slavery, abortion, and now genocide. We'll read about that in the coming week. Slavery, abortion, and genocide. The Jewish people have gone through all of this as an example to show all of us, those who are God's people, you're not safe in this world. This world is not built for you. The systems of this world are meant to come against you. And all those things can happen to you. Because after all, they were living large. They were doing fine. They were some of the richest people in the land. But when people see how well God is blessing you, they're going to come after you. Oh, you went down there in Texas, left Colorado, went around them. Yeah, you're being blessed, but guess what? Oh, you're trying to do God's will? You're trying to show love every day, show it as well as anybody that I've ever run across? That's why he wrote, in this life you'll have trials and tribulations. You know why? Because you live in this world. Long, hard oppression. This lesson today was written to remind all of you, this world is not yours.